cliffcentral.com. Business Masterclass. I'm Adrian Groenewald. With me, Richard Angus from finance team, and Alison Nyandu,
entrepreneur,
media entrepreneur. It's great to have you gentlemen with us. And of course, our very special guest, an expert in the field of product design development, Brian Steinhobel. Gee, Brian, you've worked on Formula One cars and luxury ships.
Yes, yachts. Actually, I leave on Monday morning. I'll be in one of the biggest super yacht manufacturing component-wise in the UK. Very strong sector of industry down there for yachting down by the Isle of Wight in Southampton. It's exciting stuff to work on.
All right, now we've lost our jeweler. I was just going to say, let's get down to real basics. A man who designs jewelry for visitors to the country and much more. I don't know if he's from Ort SA. I don't know. He came through the Choco Sun experience. They assisting and developing entrepreneurs with a remarkable program. So let's just try and get him back on the line. We also have Ort SA, who's very supportive. They help SMEs as well, coach them, mentor them, and they often send a couple of entrepreneurs here to us. Richard.
Yeah, maybe while we're waiting for him to get on the line. I mean, Brian, I've got a statement here that I picked up, and I thought this was actually quite a powerful statement. It says, "The goals of product design should be greater performance, greater reliability, and lower total production and operating costs. Quality and cost should not be viewed as a trade-off, because improvements in product and process technologies can enhance quality and lower the cost of production." It's quite a mouthful.
It's a mouthful, but it's fine. We used to being asked to defy gravity and sort of be God's wingman. Without kidding you, you know, clients and consumers do have a very high expectation. But quite frankly, in taking through the correct processes, that will be the natural result of a good product development process.
Well, I mean, I heard what you said to our guest earlier on the furniture side of things. You took a process that had, I think you said, 11 steps, and you took it down to 2.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a fundamental, in the world of the, let's call it the financial element of the economy. Eliminate 9 steps in a production process. Guess what that's going to do to your cost
base? Very much so. Yeah. And that is one of the cornerstones and hallmarks of good design, is rationalization. And that, again, is made enabled through technology, where if you look at the cooling head on an Audi A5, which we had a relationship with that development, there's a complex assembly of components and all different componentry. We now have one plastic piece, which is molded in 38 seconds, which performs what took a real, and I've had to tell you what it costs, Audi would probably smack my knuckles, because obviously it's not their fault, but these simple pieces of cheap plastic do get transformed into a greater cost down the line. But that is understandable. You have amortization of tools and research and development, which has to be paid for. It's just like, you know, when you have music in your industry being plagiarized and copied without the actual originator getting remunerated, then the industry will die. But basically, yes, a good process will automatically deliver all of the above there. Absolutely, and thank God for the word process, progress, because progress is a wonderful thing, where everything, again, that singularity, that convergence of, in our computers we're using the same software as NASA and Boeing use, and at our fingertips we have millions of man hours. Years ago I'd be given mag wheels to design for automotive companies. I'd be given 6 months to develop a mag wheel. The expectation now with the technology at our fingertips is 6 days max.
No way.
That's a big graceful deadline. So that's exactly what we're talking about. My proliferation has increased probably a millionfold in the last 36 years of my company.
Incredible. Right, on the line, Nkobile Nkosi, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's great, man. I'm glad we overcame technology. And let's see how good the line is. Let's keep going. We want to find out more about your design and product development business. Pitch your business again. Remind us what it is that you do on a day-to-day basis as an entrepreneur.
Yes, NQ Jewelry Design Services, the jewelry design and manufacturing facility. Our studio, we're based here in Soweto. We pretty much focus on contemporary jewelry, and we use silver, gold, gemstones, and a bit of diamonds and platinum. depends on what we've been commissioned to do. But pretty much that's what we do.
Who commissions you?
We do work for a state diamond trader. They're based in Joburg. We also do for UBS. They've got a project called Skylar T, where they recruit young designers to do, again, jewelry using silver, gold, a bit of diamonds. And occasionally I get calls from New Zealand and sometimes in Australia and a bit in from the UK. People who have met and who've read about me on the internet, and they send me specifications of what they would like me to design and make for them. And also we have visitors, people who come in through to Soweto, mainly tourists, would then come and also ask me to design something specific for them. And we also do a bit of design as well for boutiques. Mm-hmm. And we do a bit of work for West Cliff Hotel. There's a shop called Avuva. They've got a stock there. We do also for West Cliff, Big Five Duty Free Shop in O.R. Tambo.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our own shop at the Organic Breast in Health Market.
Okay.
So yeah. On a Thursday or Friday, when we open at the market, we'll come, they put the order. Some, they bring us the ideas, what they want us to do for them, but also all their own stock.
Okay. Well, how did you get into this, Nkombile?
Well, it was like pure luck. It was in 2004 when I was introduced into jewelry designing and manufacturing. My background is more in engineering. So when I went into the workshop, my interest was in the machines. But they were looking for candidates to actually start learning the skill of designing and manufacturing jewelry. The training was more than 80% manufacturing and 20%, 80% practical, 20% theory. So with my background coming up from Soweto, we make our own toys growing up as kids. We make our own cars using wires. We make our own kites using plastic and wood. So naturally when I went to the workshop, they showed me a few equipment and tools and asked me to draw something and actually make it. And that's how I started in 2004.
But now you've had to, graduate to becoming a businessman. Was that difficult? So here's the designer at heart, or the developer, innovative man, I guess, creative, and now you've had to build a business. How difficult was that transition? Because it's now your own business.
Yes, it was very difficult. I realized they were just, before I completed my training, that I just wanted to do this now as a job and as a business. So I just started small. I sold cakes and sweets, watched cars on the streets, painted people's houses, saved up about 25,000 rand, and set up a small repair studio.
Mm.
And then I only did repairs for like two years. And then I got a big break when I won the Jet Community Awards, when I was just, the competition was for me to put together a business plan of a unique business, present it, then they come and visit your workspace. And my current situation was just doing repairs, but part of the growth plan was to start developing my own unique range and selling it to the public. And I was working from a tin house, which is known as Mkuku. So they came, they saw what we were doing there, and they were quite impressed. So I won a few hundred thousands that I used to develop a four-room facility and bought the fully equipment to do the production. Yeah.
So there's something important that I'm hearing there. There's a function or a combination of extreme hard work and actual delivery. I think often as entrepreneurs, people think that, they create something and, it just all happens. And what I'm hearing there, Lubele, is you actually put in a lot of hard work. I mean, you referred there to you spent 2 years doing repairs. You know, reality, it's not a case of, well, I came up with an idea and 3 months later, somebody threw a whole bunch of money at me and I started up my production facility. You really worked hard for a long period of time to make sure that you were actually able to then take that next step. And, lots of people will say, oh, well, you were in the right place at the right time. Yes, you were. You were in the right place at the right time to be recognized for the hard work that you had already put in. You don't just get an opportunity like you did and win an award like that because you just happened to be there. You had actually put in the effort, and there's a lot of hard work that underpins that.
So, Nkobile, we'll hear a little bit more about lessons you've learned. We just have a question from the floor. You know what it's like sitting there and pitching your business. So we've got one of the SMEs about to do that, and they have a question for the panel. Go for it.
My name is Sandra, and our business...
A little closer, yeah.
My name is Sandra, and our business is called Prop Care Services. We've identified a void within the sectional title complex market, which could result in a loss of market value for homeowners concerning their greatest investment. We are a startup business, and with the guidance of AutJet, we offer an all-inclusive caretaking and maintenance service for both managed and unmanaged complexes of all sizes, as well as medium and long-term maintenance planning. We handpick all of our service providers and personally supervise all projects to ensure the highest quality of workmanship. We can be contacted at info@propcareservices.org, and our website is www.propcareservices.org.
All right.
And I've got a question for all of you.
Go for it.
How would you go about custom designing caretaking and maintenance packages for each individual complex?
Oh, that's simple. Guys, answer. Who wants to start? Let's start with our special guest today. It's not the traditional product design thing, is it? But
the solution is always a process.
Yeah.
And I would again, I know I'm hopping on about it, I'd go straight to technology. I'd write myself an app. I'd get an app written. And I'd actually run that through an app, because through the app, it's a gateway again, opening up. You can have customized requests, you can control things, and from a glorified group chat, I think that would be one way to keep your finger on the pulse, because it's a matter of keeping your finger on the pulse. I would say that I would seriously look at app technology as one of the core kickoff points for that. But your own app, and who knows, maybe your app could become global. You can sell it to the global estate agent industry if you get it right, which I'm sure you could.
That's kind of how it goes. You make an app that helps you maybe in your business, and then you sell it to a bigger market.
Well, there's that singularity coming again, where apps, quite frankly, help a lot of things. And in products in particular, you know, in China, the people walk along the shopping aisles with the cell phones just scanning as they walk. And they're getting a lot of info that's actually volunteered to them quickly and easily. And so, yeah, I think that convergence of where things are going to happen a lot faster, a lot quicker. And it's like a pilot flying a decent jet. He's got everything on his, or a captain of a ship would be a better example, with what used to be a radar screen. He's now got a heads-up display with a multitude of extra information. Yeah. And you can just draw on it as it comes into your face and just handle it as it comes through. Mm. So it's more of a poetic flow rather than a challenge and a struggle.
In fact, I thought that was a very important question by Sandra, because I wanted to also ask Brian, is there a distinction that needs to be made between product design and service design, or the very three elements that you mentioned earlier would work for how you design a service?
No, I think it's a process, as I say. Yeah, there's fundamental human, what we call intuitive responses. Mm-hmm. So when we design a product, we have to make sure that by intuition, we actually have a solution which is appropriate to the human need.
Okay.
And intuitively, it shouldn't have to be explained. Mm. It's the same with anything. So we call it the MMI, the man-machine interface, which is the subconscious psychology of how a trigger is pulled in a consumer to like something. Mm. There was that one BMW advert that said, "I like it because I like it." And that means he liked it because everything had been done properly.
Sure.
So that's really the synthesis of those things coming together.
Okay.
All right, we've got a question from the floor before we do that. Nkobile, any question? Did you hear that question? Anything you want to add as a SME owner?
For us, it's a little bit different to what the other gentleman has just explained. Because when we do a custom design, the client would then give us a brief as to what is it they expect or what is it that they would like us to design and manufacture for them.
Mm.
And before we can, because we also have where we can use 3D designing, CAD, which is computer-aided design, which enables us to design a finished product, and then to give us the specification as to how much weight is it gonna cost, and how much sizes of the stones that will be used, because that also plays a very important part in terms of the cost of what the product will be. So, and then for our retail shops that we would then design a particular product, I'd say there's a shop called The Blue Cemetery that's based in Parker. We did an exclusive collection for them, which was mainly 95 sterling silver, finished with the resin. So it depends on what also their customers are looking out to buy from their shop. But then if you come to our retail shop in the organic Bryanston market, you would find that we carry stock or other designs between the price point of 2,000 rand to about 5,500 rand. Everything more than that, you can only get it on order. But also for me as a small manufacturer, it's important that I create products that are appealing, obviously, to our customers. And because of Thank You, only specialize on different, unique, contemporary products, which also take a bit of weight, meaning we use quite a bit of silver in our products or rather gold. So I can only carry X amount of stock. So without without designing one ring, I can also have to do one ring for 250,000 rand.
You're getting too technical for me.
That's the only thing I would have. And that would be the only ring I'll have on my display stand.
Yeah.
But if I break it down and say, okay, out of 250,000 rand budget, how far I can stretch it in terms of how many collections I can present and how many I can produce and how many earrings, rings, and also necklaces that would go into our stand. But again, we try not to keep too many products. I'm of the view of less is more. So if you visit our stand or you go to our website, you'll see that even our design.
Yep.
So it's all entry experience. For us, it's more, less is more.
Yeah.
And we try and focus on that. Yeah.
The important thing that I think you've figured out quite quickly here is the financial principle of working capital. So the reality is you have to have the money or the cash to be able to buy the raw materials to keep that, let's call it, display stock in place. And you've learned to manage that quite carefully. And that's one of the fundamental things that some smaller businesses fall apart in. They think they can have one of everything that they want to try and sell to people. The reality is that the, let's call it, the demo stock or the display stock, you have to choose very carefully what you're putting out there in front of your customer, because remember, the moment it's on your shelf on display, it's burning a hole in your bank account in terms of you've had to invest to put it there and you're not getting any return on it. Let's go to some questions.
We've got a next SME pitch business. Ask question.
Good day. My name is Joseph Mohali, and the company that I represent is Enamish & Company. The company focuses on personal care products and fragrances. Our main core of the business is fragrances which are tailor-made and handcrafted, and the fragrances are personalized to individual needs and also are used for corporate companies as a corporate gift, as we are also able to personalize them according to the company needs. My question is to Nobile, as an entrepreneur, what are the challenges that you faced having to introduce unique jewelry designs and getting it to the market and getting people to buy into the idea of having the different type of jewelry?
All right, I was going to answer that.
Oh, yes. Well, it's not a matter of me trying to... hello?
Yes, go for it. Ntombile, we're listening.
Okay, sorry about that. The line is not that...
Did you hear the question? Oh, yeah.
Yes, I did hear what are the challenges in terms of us introducing a new design. Well, at first, because I did not really understand my market, I used to email to Stans, I used to email to Galaxy, all these chain stores, and they would come back to me and say, but Ntombile, we can't really stock from you. Because for one ring, we can get 10 rings from our suppliers who only specialize on contemporary. Going back to, who specialize on commercial jewelry. So going back to what I said earlier on, because our products are unique and they're a little bit weighty. So I had to travel quite a bit. You know, I used to go to all the malls in Cape, in Pretoria. I had to go to all the malls in Joburg, all the Joe stores. Drive in and go into shops and speak to managers, look at what they have in stock, what is it that they're selling, and why they will not buy my product. From that knowledge, I went back home and I sat down, then I had to choose and say, okay, if I want to do what everybody is doing, it means I have to do it cheaper, because that's what it meant. But if I want to continue as a creative person and create different new products, I need to find areas that, number one, they don't sell mass-produced jewelry. They had to be a little bit high-end, if I may put it that way. And from that, it sort of led me to my market. It led me, rather, led me to meet people who like to buy different, who like to buy unique, and also have the time to go, sometimes if need to go and visit the artist and commercial and buy a and get them to do a custom design for them in the studio. But it takes time. I think also what helps is starting small.
Yeah.
One thing I always look back and I said, you know, it was important for me to sell the cakes on the streets. It was important for me to wash cars, because then is when I learned how to talk to customers, how to look after your customers, and what is it that they need. Because once you understand the need of the world, there's different people in the world, and they all have different needs.
Yeah.
And our jewelry came in, maybe I would say, at the right time, where people were tired of buying all the same old jewelry, and wanted something a bit more different, something a bit more artisan, something a bit more personal.
All right.
So it's all just starting small, and it's easy for you to find your way.
Nkombile Nkosi of NQ Jewelry, you're an inspiration, a real entrepreneur, starting from nothing, putting in the miles and the effort, taking the risk, and we admire you for that. Salute you. Thank you for inspiring us today and being part of us. Sorry we missed the first few minutes with the technology, but we're grateful you could join us. Thank you.
Thank you. And I wanted to say thank you guys for having me. And if anyone who is interested in seeing our jewelry, they're welcome to go to www.nqjewelry.co.za, or they can visit us at the Organic Market. We are store number 82, open every Thursday and Saturdays.
All right. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you so much, Nkombile Nkosi, for joining us. And just to end off, Brian Steinoble, our special guest today, helping us with understanding product development and design. It's great to have you here. You've got incredible experience, and I'm sure you've helped some of these SMEs a great deal. Final word for designers, development, where are we going? Just instinctively, what do you think they need to know from your side?
I think they have to definitely not look just within our country on route to market. We're not, you know, I think anyone must look at a global platform now and a global rollout of their product, because it's your basically success is going to rely on your route to market and how many you can sell. And we are restricted in this country, so, you know, and the global markets are accessible through the electronic means and the things that you can do today.
Mm.
So I'd say do all your strategy not just within the borders of South Africa, because then we become exporting, which is great to hit the multiply button when you're getting pounds and euros and dollars instead of dividing when you're importing stuff. So that's really the key to the future, is think globally, export, have a strategy that can take your jewelry brand globally, or your whatever you're doing, take it global.
That's the world we live in. You can think endless, impossibility, no boundaries. Thank you so much, Brian, for joining us today. And
thank
our SMEs,
you very much for
having me. Yeah, our SMEs that we couldn't get to with questions, sorry about that. We've run out of time. If you want to join our audience next week and every other Monday, 1 to 2 for our business masterclass, just email info@leadershipplatform.com, 2 P's in the middle, or kevin@leadershipplatform.com. That's been very interesting, gents. That's our business masterclass.
Yep, good one. Thank you.
Next week, we're shifting gear. You know, we're moving into transformation conversation now, transformation platform. We're going to have a conversation around that with Stella Nolan, editor, publisher, founder of Transformation Magazine, TFM Magazine. That's going to be very interesting. Our country is transforming, and the world is transforming. And we're setting aside this half hour to talk about all these transformation issues that we face. And we're kicking it off with someone who's been doing this for many years, or been in the middle of all of that. So stay with us. CliffCentral.com.